Good morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning in our time in God's Word. I'm just so thankful for everybody who serves and all of you, really. I don't know that we have anybody who doesn't serve in some capacity, either in the school ministry or in other areas. Thankful for all those who scheduled the skate yesterday, and we had a birthday party yesterday afternoon, so we were showing up when everybody left, so they're probably all like, well, what are you doing here now? And mainly because I don't know that I can handle 4 hours of skating. My hip's telling me you couldn't handle what you got yesterday. So, but surprisingly enough, I'm not sore or don't feel the need for a chiropractor any more than usual anyways. But it was great. It was great to see everybody, and looking forward to a busy March. March is going to be plenty of activities going on, but it's always good to see everyone. I'm thankful for your encouragement and your singing in the song service today. Thankful for those who organize that and do such a great job for us. And I just enjoy being here with you, and I hope that you feel the same way. And if for some reason, if there's something we're doing that's not the case, let us know, right? We can't really fix anything. I'm not a mind reader. As my wife would attest to, I can't do that. And so we really look forward to the opportunities to be the best that we can be. We believe that God deserves that as for what he has done for us and his continuing love for us. As we get into Matthew chapter 6 and we kind of set the tone for what we'll be talking about today, I want to make sure that we get in the context here as we look back at chapter 6 and verse 1. Jesus warns, my version here, the New American Standard, starts with, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." If you're like me, the word beware always piques my interest, especially when I see it on a sign, right? Beware of dog, beware of gun owning, property owner, or whatever it is. Beware. And there's no difference here. Jesus is trying to, once again, as we've stated, set the tone of how the kingdom of God works and what is not in the kingdom of God or shouldn't be. And we, some degree, are suffering the consequences of the church becoming more about making sure men are okay with us rather than God. And sometimes we set up obstacles. Maybe even with good intentions through our traditions and the things that we think. We've all heard cleanliness is next to godliness, and that's been taught enough in society that people think that that is a scripture in the Bible, and it's just not, right? I grew up, and I have no problem with this whatsoever. You wear your Sunday best, right, was the phrase we had. Well, that's nowhere in scripture. But it was something that people believed. It's what I was brought up with. Once again, have no issue with that unless we're teaching it in a way as where it comes across as God's word. And we need to be careful of those things. So the idea here is beware, right? This is not something that really is important in the kingdom of God of making people around you happy, right? Now, the Bible does command us to be at peace with one another. Right. If I go preach somewhere on a Sunday morning, I'm going to call that preacher and I'm going to say, "Hey, listen, what do you usually wear on Sunday?" Right. Because I'm not coming in to rock the boat. If you wear a suit, guess what? I'm going to be wearing a suit. That's just how that works. Right. Because I want them to hear what I'm saying and not so much be completely off kilter by what I'm wearing. And I want to honor that. I want to be at peace where there can be peace. We all know there are people in the world that there can be no peace. It doesn't matter what you do, how many obstacles you try to jump and hoops through, there's going to be no peace. And we really want, when you come here, to feel that there's a peace here, that we want you here. We love that you are here. We are honored that you are here with us and that you would join in this singing and this worship. And we want that to be the main thing. Once again, do we have traditions and things that we do just because that's the way we... Yeah, absolutely. Because there's an aspect of human nature that is the case, right? But we want the first thing people to notice about us is our love for God, our love for Jesus, which then entails and informs how we treat those around us. And so if that's not the case, you need to let somebody know, right? Because we want to be in that vein. We want that to be the number one. And so we don't want to be people here who practice our righteousness to make people happy, right? To make them think that we are religious. We want to be acceptable in the sight of Jesus Christ and in God and the Holy Spirit first and foremost. So Jesus sets the groundwork of chapter 6, like, who are you doing these things for? Now, the beauty of that is that if we serve God, then others will be served. It really is a natural product, but that doesn't always mean that they're going to like it or love us for it. And there are examples, starting with Jesus, of the most loving human that ever lived, and they still crucified him. And so, you know, if they persecuted him, they will persecute us. Then we get to verse 24, we left off last week. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is something that has played out in all of history, and even more blaringly because of the internet in 2024. Right? You're either in alignment with Jesus, you're seeking Jesus. We tend to want to make a third or fourth or fifth option, where God makes no third, fourth, or fifth option. You are in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, or you are not. And that's really what it's going to boil down to. We see in Matthew 25, Jesus says, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. You didn't do the things that I did. You are well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so if we believe, and we do as a body, we believe that Jesus is the one who will make that determination, then who are we to please? And here are the words of Jesus. You're going to serve, you cannot serve two masters. Inferred here is that you do serve something. No one in here is going about their life as a lone wolf, as much as in the 80s we thought that was really cool, right? Nobody is doing that. Every person in here, every person that's ever been born, every person that will be born is going to serve something. Now, we come up with fancy names for them and it changes throughout time, but really it kind of boils down, are we serving God or are we serving ourselves? Who is God? And we can look at our lives and how we live it and we go, okay, in this aspect, God is Lord over that. And then when we do that and we come to something that does not align with Jesus, what do we do with it? Well, I really just need that, right? I need you to mind your own business, Jesus, in this one aspect, because I know what I'm going to do and how I want it to work. And if you come nosing around, right? Now, none of us would say that out loud, but we've all done it at some level. Like, this is how I want it to be. And really, the journey, the sanctification process, is the Lord, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, pointing those things out and going, this is not submitted to me, right? This is not, you're not giving me, I have authority over it, but you're trying to refuse it and resist it. And if we can boil everything to that, how much simpler will life be? Like, this is submitted to the Lord, this is not, and it needs to be. Lord, help me submit, help me to let go of that. So it should be no shock to us when verse 24 says what it says, and then Jesus immediately goes in and starts talking about, in my Bible, the phrase at the top, the cure for anxiety. The cure for anxiety. When I have anxiety, and I mean soul-crushing anxiety, not the anxieties that come with everyday life, which is what he's about to unpack for them, right? There is that anxiety of, hey, you have to have food today. There are provisions that you have to have. There are things that everyday life requires of you versus, hey, you have leukemia. Hey, you have this. Hey, this is going to change your life completely in a way that you're probably not going to enjoy. Right? Can we acknowledge that those are two different varieties? Right? Jesus unpacks here the everyday existence anxiety and provisions. Now, in both instances, the first thing we should do always is pray to God, right? I have no issue with someone coming forward with whatever you want to come forward this morning, and what are we going to do about it before we leave? We are going to go to God on your behalf and pray. Right, you could literally say in any situation, you come to me tomorrow randomly on a Monday and go, you need to pray more. And guess what? You're right 100% of the time. And so if that's true 100% of the time, how helpful is it to say in anything, well, you just, there's the key word, need to pray more. Duh. Thank you, Mr. Obvious. Of course, I need to pray more, right? If I break my arm on Monday and I go see Dr. Spears for some reason, I'm not a kid, but if I go to him and I go in there and I'm like, what am I going to do? And he goes, well, you just need to pray more. Well, yeah, that's true. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to help me? All right? When I got leukemia, I believed that regardless of how I left Huntsville Hospital, God was on the throne. Right? Whether they wheeled me out, thank God that's how it worked, or they took me out in a box, God is still on the throne. But I had trouble sleeping at night. I had issues. I could not go to sleep. And so guess what I did? I took some help to get some sleep. Because if you're not sleeping, it's really hard for your body to work right, even when you're not sick. Okay? I was praying. It's the most I've prayed in my life ever. Ever. Right? Sometimes I catch myself being a little jealous of that guy and how much he prayed. Right? So what I'm putting out to you is absolutely pray first. Pray first in everything and anything. The good times, the bad times, all the time. I think we have scripture to back that up, right? Pray continually. But also understand that it's not always helpful, especially when we just put the word just. You just need to pray more. Is not always the helpful phrase. Now, I've never had anybody tell me that, right? But somebody said it somewhere, and it's everywhere, right? Well, I took it to my church leaders, and they said I just needed to pray more. And so the problem comes in when that phrase becomes something where we just brush people off. And that's really what it's become. Like, I just don't want to get my hands dirty in what's going on in your life, and I just don't need to handle it. And maybe that's just them crying out, I need to pray more. Let's do that right now. And then coming alongside, right? What I always try to iterate is, yes, we're going to pray for you in prayer time, but we're also going to pray for ways in which we can come beside you today, tomorrow, next week. Right, we've got people who've lost loved ones in this room recently. And are we doing a good job of checking in on them months later, weeks later, days? Hey, how's it going? Are you okay? Is there anything that I can do for you? So we get into this passage. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body. Now, it'd be interesting if in 2024, with access to the things we have access to, that meant what? We have less anxiety. But really, what happens is we figure out a way to fill that space. And I think that's where we fall short of what God, what Jesus is trying to tell us here, right? We know that those are things that we shouldn't be concerned with. And to a large degree, I am not worried about my next meal. It's not. Now, there are people who are. And we've done a lot of things in 2024. And hunger, of course, is always going to be an issue. There are always going to be people who need help. But generally speaking, I don't wake up in the morning going, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. And if he can look at these people who did have those things and go, hey, trust God to provide those things, then we should be able to do the same, especially when it's so easily accessible. But what we have to war against is replacing that anxiety with something else, especially things that we have no control over, right? Like there are very few things in the past that I can go back and fix. Now I can live in such a way to patch those relationships, do what I can, but I have to use what? The day that I have. And a lot of mine comes from what's going to happen 3 days from now or a week from now, right? Or months from now. And what Jesus is trying to bring them back to is that if you're so worried about what's going to happen weeks from now, how can you serve the people who are around you now in this moment, right? I struggle with that. I've got students in my room every day and I'm thinking 2 weeks from now, and I'm not really available to help them with what they're dealing with today. and to serve them. Once again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be forward thinkers. But when it's soul crushing, where it's all I can think about, I think that's where our issue comes in. That's where our issue comes in. And there are people who are dealing with things, right? There are people who are dealing with things that are big things. I don't know where that line is, right? I'm sure there are people, if you brought people from the first century and dropped them here in 2024, they'd be like, really? That's what you're worried? Seriously. You know, and they might look at us and go, oh, that's silly. But it's not silly to us, right? I just said, I'm not concerned with what I'm going to eat, right? Does that mean I can take what Jesus says here and just throw it out the window? I have no concern about what I'm going to eat. No, because what do? I turn right around and I fill that concern with something else. You know? And are there times where I look back at what I was worried and concerned with 10 years ago and I go, I cannot believe that you focus so much on that stuff. We were talking this morning in Bible class about wisdom. And there's a certain aspect of wisdom that comes with age. And the temptation at 42 is to look at myself at 20 and then now judge. I don't look at myself at 20. I look at 20-year-olds now and I judge them. That's not very wise, right? Because, Lord willing, they'll have time to catch up with me. And then in 20 years, I'll look back at mine and I'll do the same thing. But what Jesus is trying to do is remove that aspect completely and go, okay, what's in front of you today? What's the main goal? To make the elders think I'm acceptable before Jesus? Or the Baptist church down the road? Or the Church of Christ down the road? Or the Pentecostals? Or the whoever? Or is it, am I living a life acceptable to Jesus? And what are His expectations of me? And that's going to rule today. That's number one, right? Now, due to some wonderful people in this room, most of you, right? I'm in a hospital room, and the doctor comes in, and he's doing his thing, and they got things attached to me, and they're pumping stuff into my veins, and man, I don't know, and I don't even want to talk about it. But my room's filled with Scripture. And they come in that room, and they go, man, I just love coming to your room, because there's a peace in here that we don't get anywhere else. Let me tell you, where I was mentally, that was not me. That was not of Travis Creasy, right? But it's an example. It's a light to those who don't see that. This guy is handling it differently, not because he's some awesome religious person that's close to Jesus, but because he has a support group like no other. Right now, through CYC, they thought I was a rock star. They'd bring in that box of stuff, and they go, I don't know who you are, but you got to be like a movie star or play music or something else. I'm like, actually, I'm just a goofball, and some people enjoy what I do. But it was an outpouring, right? It was in that moment, hey, Travis is down. He's not Travis. So we're going to support him. What if every person in the church got that level of love at their worst moment, at their hardest, most difficult valley? I guarantee you there'd be a lot of people in churches, right? Just by the example on my walls, right? I want to be in here, right? Well, that's funny because I don't want to be in here. It's the last place I want. I'd rather be anywhere else. And here they come, right? So don't let these things rule your mind, because it's what, and he goes on to say here in a minute, it's what the Gentiles worry about. It's what the people of the world are concerned with. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Answer the question. It's a question asked for you to answer. Right? Depending on what day it is, I would tell you no by how my attitude is. Right? I can't tie my shoes today, Lord. How can I serve you? I am so concerned with these things. Right? But the beautiful thing about that is if we lean into the Lord and we admit that. Like today, I'm concerned with everything I shouldn't be. Help my priorities, the Lord's Prayer, align with your kingdom. Because I know if that's true, then a lot of these things that I'm concerned with and I'm worried and I'm feeling crushed by will be better. I mean, Jesus is the example, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, I know you're with me. If there's any other way, it's okay to pray that. If Jesus prayed that, that means it's okay for you to pray that. No one's been aligned with the Lord, with God the Father, more than that guy. If there's another way, make it clear to me. But then the add-on, but if not, I want your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever the thing is today, what if we prayed that tomorrow morning? What if we prayed that right now? Lord, whatever it be, now I got some ways in which I'd like for it to be, but ultimately, your will. Help me to serve as your Son has taught us to serve. So what is your value? And who, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Isn't it interesting that we now know scientifically that what does worry actually do to our life? Takes moments off. Take moments off. I think of just thinking about the times I've sat and worried about a ball game when I'm surrounded by people I love, and instead of enjoying the time, late in my coaching career, I started going, you really just don't enjoy these boys like you should. Like you should have a little more fun with these guys, right? Because you're concerned, and concern, not a bad thing. Worrying to the point that you don't eat all week, that's an issue. I did it. My first year coaching, championship week, I didn't eat but just enough, as my dad would say, to keep a cat alive, right? And not my cat, because he eats a lot, right? Keep a bird alive maybe is a better thing. But that's awful. That's awful. There's no way, right, that should be true of me. But it is, right? And so the aspect of really worry, and so that ain't, it takes away from your life. It will kill you. Right? And he doesn't even go there. And he knew it will. It can hurt you. It can take you away from the moments that mean the most. And that should not be the case. We all have a level of anxiety, right? There's a level of anxiety that gets me out of the bed in the morning because I got mouths to feed and people to provide for. As long as that's in the balance, it's a good balance. Like, Lord, I only have this because of you. And when it ceases to serve you, move me somewhere else. Then there's a level of that, right? It's getting the butterflies to fly in the same direction, right? It's getting it organized and going, okay, there is a level that gets me out of bed in the morning and I go work because I've been commanded by God to provide for my family, provide for me. But it's all in line with you. How can I be a light for your kingdom today? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, and this is interesting, I love it, say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. What are all of these? Every Jew that hears this, what do they want to return to? We might say the Davidic kingdom, but really, they want the peaceful kingdom, right? Like David fought wars, carved out through the power of God, this nation. Really, they want to go back to rich money. We want to return to the Davidic Solomon kingdom. And he says, this is how you do it. You trust God. David, you trust God. David, here's the guy who's trying to kill you. He just walked into this cave. Obviously, God, other than putting a neon sign, says, kill this dude, let's move to the palace. God's anointed. I trust him. What? Come on, man. We're living in caves. This is obviously God going, here he is. Do what you will. God helps those who help themselves. That's another one of those phrases, right? God wants us to trust him and lean into him when it's more difficult. I believe. I think we would all. I believe. If you don't, you'd be somewhere else. But we can all add on, help my unbelief. Help me to see it the way that you see it as we begin to wrap up our time. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? Verse 32, remember I told you early on in the study that there was comparisons. There were people that would come to mind when he said these things. Now the people who really get it are the ones who themselves come to mind. Like, where do I worry about these things. I don't worry about clothes. I don't worry about food. I don't worry about those things. But I do worry. I do concern myself. I do lay awake at night. Once again, that rest is kind of important. But you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So the idea of not having, or at least our attitude not being aligned with Him, yes, there, we should lean more into the Lord. We should pray more. 100%. 100%. But also we should have a little forgiveness for those who may need a little help. Especially when we are unwilling to be that help. Because we are called to be the hands and feet. For Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you trust? So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How do I know that? Because I'm living proof that every day I go home and I do this reevaluation of the day. And I do a checklist. I try to. I don't do this every day. But I do a checklist of, you know, did I handle this in a kingdom way today? Did I love my kids? And Haley's fixing to be 9, and that is crazy. 7 years they've been at our house, right? It's crazy. And like, I think, man, did I pour into her or Daniel or Whitney? Because that's what you've given me to do right here in my house. Because it's, if I'm not doing that, then it's going to be real hard to love the person across the street or come in here with these twerps every day and love them the way I should. And so I think a lot of us wait, there are a lot of people in the world that wait on the government to get it right. And boy, howdy, I hope they're not holding their breath. And there are people who maybe, I hope not. People aren't waiting for Travis Creasy to get it right and holding their breath because it's going to be a while, right? And so what does it just simply boil down to? Trust God and love your neighbor yourself. I think we all can come to the agreement that we could do that a little bit better. It's much like prayer, right? Like, I could trust God more. Help us to do that. If there's a way we can do that and assist you this morning, we want to do that. We want to do that to us. Right? Now, we fight our flesh, but to us, there should not be anything silly that people struggle with because we don't know where they've been. We don't know where they're at. God does, and they're pleading out for our help. And so I love it, right? Whatever it is, it may be burdening you to me at 40, I may be like, that's silly, right? Somebody at 80 may look at what I'm, oh, that's kind of silly. I don't worry about that anymore. That doesn't mean it's not a big deal to them. Doesn't mean... Most importantly, if it's silly to you, you've conquered that mountain. Guess who needs a little help pulling up on the mountain? Hey, here's all where all the hand grips are to get. I've been up that mountain. That's an opportunity we have this morning when we share. And I just want to challenge us to take those things seriously, whatever they are. Whether it's that big thing to me, maybe not to you. Understand that beyond our perception, if it's a big deal to you, it is to God. And He cares for you. And He's given you the solution to the problem. It's just having the wisdom to see it. And I think we could all pray for more wisdom to see it. So if there's a way we can assist you this morning, we look forward to the opportunity now as we stand and sing.